With the ringing of that bell, the Warren County Radio Bible School is now in session. And if you will listen to this radio program, you will be counted as a student in this Bible school. I would invite you at this time, as we're getting started, to get your Bible and find the book of Matthew. And turn to Matthew chapter 9, and we'll begin our study in verse 9. We're studying the great men and women of the Bible, and we have come to the study of Matthew. And we're going to be using as our guide Elam's notes, which are Sunday school notes, which were written for the Sunday of July 29th, 1923. And he titled this lesson, Matthew the Publican. Now, a publican was a tax collector. And we'll be talking about taxes in just a moment. But while you're turning to Matthew chapter 9, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road in Warren County. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now, if you have turned to the book of Matthew, it tells us in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 9 that as Jesus passed by from thence, that is, he is leaving Capernaum, it says he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the place of toll. And he said unto him, follow me, and he arose and followed him. Matthew, the publican, the tax collector, sitting at the place of toll. You may have traveled in some of the big cities and have been on the interstate and then suddenly found yourself coming up to a toll booth. And you know what you do? You slow down and you get in line. And you either pay the attendant at the toll booth, or maybe you just drop your coins into the basket that is available there. And then when the gate arises, you can go on your way. Well, Matthew was collecting a toll. And he was along a road that led out of Capernaum, probably the road that led over to the Decapolis, and that is the Grecian cities. And there he would collect taxes on the transported goods down that road, and it would pass near the Sea of Galilee. Let's talk a little bit about taxes, the place of toll. Elam says it was the custom station. Customs were the taxes imposed by the government on both imported and exported goods. The Romans taxed almost everything: fish, trees, houses, doors, columns, and all property, real and personal. And that the publicans, for the convenience of the collections, had erected a custom house at the approach of bridges, the termination of roads, and in harbors. All human governments take this course, and the burden of taxation grows heavier and heavier. Public roads to Jerusalem, Tyre, Sidon, and the east centered at Capernaum. On the merchandise passing along these roads, and on the fish and trade of the lake, certain customs were due and must be collected. Levi was in Capernaum as a tax collector and a publican. Let's talk for a few minutes about publicans. Originally and properly, publicans were usually rich Roman knights who contracted for the taxes, both the direct taxes and the customs of provinces, for the payment of a certain sum into the Roman treasury. When these taxes surpassed the financial ability of one man, a joint stock company was formed with one man as the general manager who looked after the business and paid over the profits to the stockholders. The system was, however, a vicious one. We read in Smith's Bible Dictionary, the publicans were banded together to support each other's interest, and at once resented and defied all interference. They demanded severe laws and put every such law into execution. These Roman knights or the managing directors of the stock company, did not gather the taxes themselves, but the provinces were divided up into districts, and these districts were sublet, and some inhabitant, usually of the country, who was acquainted with its resources and the temper of the people, was the one that actually collected the taxes. These subagents, or underlings, are the publicans of the New Testament. Matthew and Zacchaeus were of this class. Zacchaeus was a chief publican, and he was rich, according to Luke chapter 19 and verse 2. These subagents or publicans had every opportunity to extort from the people more than was due, and they were encouraged in extortation and fraud by those who had them engaged. An exorbitant sum fixed by law was required of them by their superiors, and they depended only on extortion and fraud for their profits. They were allowed to fix more or less arbitrarily the value of all exports and imports and demand the payment. If there should be any property in dispute, they seized it and held it till the taxes were paid. They would forbid a farmer to gather a standing crop until they extorted from him all that was possible. They would sometimes make false accusations of smuggled goods and require the accused to pay them so much hush money. Therefore, John the Baptist exhorted them, saying, "Extort no more than that which is appointed you." Luke chapter 3 and verse 13. And Zacchaeus said, "If I have wrongfully exacted aught of any man, I restore it fourfold." Luke chapter 19 and verse 8. We can see now why the publicans were despised in every province throughout the Roman Empire. For a native to be an agent or a tool in the hand of some foreign capitalist or rich stock company to extort unwilling taxes, and frequently by fraud and false accusation, was more than the already burdensome laws required from his fellow countrymen. It was not quite enough to incur the hatred and contempt of even the patriotic citizens. This was especially so among the Jews. They regarded their subjugation by the Romans and the payment of a tribute to them as a national degradation, and the payment of such tribute dishonoring God. Hence, they posed this question to Jesus at one time, trying to entrap him in his words, saying, "Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not?" Matthew chapter 22 and verse 17. For this reason, the publicans among the Jews were not only odious as tax gatherers, but were considered also traitors to their nation and apostates from the religion of their God. They were classed with sinners, harlots, heathen in public estimation, and so they are classified in Matthew 9:11, in Matthew 11:19, in Matthew 18:17, in Matthew 21:31-32. They were not all necessarily dishonest and corrupt. John and Jesus found many ready to obey the truth and do what was right. We read in Luke chapter 12 and verse 7, or in Luke chapter 3 and verse 12, "There came also publicans to be baptized, and they said unto him, Teacher, what must we do?" And we read in Luke chapter 7, 29-30, "And all the people, when they heard the publicans, justified God, being baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected for themselves the counsel of God, being not baptized of him." We read in Matthew chapter 21, verses 31-32, "Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not, but the publicans and harlots believed him. And ye, when ye saw it, did not even repent yourselves afterwards, that ye might believe in him." The scriptures, our present lesson, and the following scriptures show John and Christ's attitude toward them. Luke chapter 7 and verse 34. The Son of Man is come eating and drinking. And you say, behold, a gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. We read in Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 10. Now all the publicans and sinners were drawing near unto him to hear him. Both the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake unto them this parable, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, and having lost one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost, till he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, that even so there shall be joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a lamp, and sweep the house, and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth together her friends and her neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Even so I say unto you, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Again we read in Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. And he entered and was passing through Jericho, and a man called by the name Zacchaeus, and he was a chief publican, and he was rich, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the crowd, because he was of little stature. And he ran on before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when he saw it, they all murmured, saying, he is gone to lodge with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have wrongfully exacted aught of any man, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, today is salvation come into this house, forasmuch as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. From this class, finding one worthy, Jesus chose an apostle, thereby encouraging publicans as well as other sinners to come to him, through whom he doubtless hoped to reach other publicans, and showing too by this choice that there is no caste in his kingdom. And Matthew, well, he left all and followed Jesus. Luke says, when he called Matthew, that he forsook all and rose up and followed him. He promptly obeyed. He was called to a higher life, a nobler work, to gather no longer perishable money for the Roman treasury, but to gather souls for heaven. It cost him something, his business, his hope of earthly gain, and a comfortable, luxurious life to follow him who had not where to lay his head. Well, there are not many Matthews now. Note here that one must forsake all for Jesus. He must deny himself and take up his cross and follow Jesus. Matthew 10:38, Jesus said, and he that doth not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. And like in Matthew 16 and verse 24, then Jesus said to his disciples, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and follow me. We're going to bring this class to a close here, but we're going to read next time from Luke chapter 14, 27 through 33, where it emphasizes the fact that we must leave all to follow Jesus.